John, would you come up and read the scripture for us? I've asked John Repass to read the scriptures. By the way, you may want to turn to it if you'd like. It's Isaiah 58, 6 and 12.
Listen as I read Isaiah 58, 6 through 12 in the King James Version. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Thank you, John. Old waste place builders. What is an old waste place? Well, we're making a spiritual application. An old waste place is a place where Jesus isn't there, where they need help, where they need light. I'm corresponding with a missionary in Australia. I pray for him regularly. He's an Australian, and his family is an old waste place. His mom and dad and his brothers and sisters need Christ, so that's an old waste place. An old waste place doesn't have to be Yellville, Arkansas. I was over in Yellville some time ago, and it is an old waste place. It can be downtown Dallas. It can be your office. It can be your home. Old waste place. Place that is wasting away. And there need to be a foundation there, and we hit a little bit on foundation in the previous time. We need to be putting forth our efforts into people who can build old waste places. You know, an old waste place can change culture. We have what we call in this part of the world a Bible Belt. Well, how did it happen? Years ago, during slavery time, the black people that were in slavery had only one hope. That's the life hereafter. They realized they'd be slaves the rest of their lives, and if they had children, they would be slaves. There was absolutely no hope of being free in this life. So many of them turned to God, and there was quite a revival among the slaves. This revival spread over into the white South culture and among the white South soldiers, the rebels, the Confederates. And the effect today is we have a different culture down here. I had a young doctor that would come down with me, spending some time with me. And I told him, I said, now it's different down here. He was from Iowa. I says, it's different. He says, it sure is, John. Sure is. He says, I was standing out in the yard, And a fella came around the corner in his pickup truck with the window rolled down with his arm out. He just started talking. He says, that would never happen in Iowa. It's a different place. We have a different culture. People act differently. What kind of people are always place builders? Well, John read some scripture that gave us an idea of what kind of people that they are. They're not necessarily powerful people or extra gifted people. They're just ordinary folks. Ordinary folks like you and like me who have a burden to share the gospel with their family, with their neighbors, with their friends, and in their community. People who have a burden to build up people. You know, we know that people without Christ need help. They need Jesus. But there's people in my church and in your church who really need encouragement. There's people that if we said, hey, let's get together for lunch, and they would appreciate it. And when we get together for lunch, we could ask them, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine, you know. How's your job going? Oh, it's going good, really. I actually got a raise, you know. Well, how's your family? Oh, well, we're okay. Well, are you happy with the way things going with you and your wife and your children? Sure. Would you like things to be better? Yes, I would, actually. And as we get to know them, we find out that they could really need help. They really need encouragement. And we can get together with them and offer a prayer. My wife is so burdened. When she gets together with a lady, she will offer a prayer. She was on the airplane, was going out to California, and the stewardess asked her, was she going over her prayer list? Or praying to God. She used some word in the Catholic Church about praying. And Helen said, no, actually, these are Bible verses. I'm letting God talk to me. So as she went back to the restroom, back there, she got to talking to the girls. And one of the girls had a burden. She had a heartache, really. Things weren't going all that well. And Helen said, well, why don't we just have a prayer? I'd like to pray for you. And before she had a chance to say yes or no, she just took her hands and very quietly said a prayer for this person. I like that. I haven't got that far yet, but I'm working on it. Lady across the street having a talk, and she had a problem with her husband. Mom said, well, look, why don't we pray? That resulted in her husband getting saved, by the way. There's people all around us that could use encouragement, that could use some help, that would appreciate some time. They would like to probably talk to the pastor as well, but the pastor's got several hundred people. He obviously can't get around to all these folks. But you and I can. That's what you call the beginning of an always place builder. What kind of people? People that were willing to get involved with other folks. God wants us to live in complete victory. Always place people are people who live in victory. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to undo the heavy burdens and to let rest go free? And that you break every yoke. That's the sixth verse in Isaiah 58. That you break every yoke. That you loose the bands of wickedness. When a person comes to Christ, we help them loose the bands of wickedness. It teaches in the Bible that if a man comes to Christ, the bands of wickedness should fall away. If a person makes a decision and the bands of wickedness do not fall away, we should question the reality of their salvation. We shouldn't question it necessarily to them, but we should question it in our hearts in our regard to helping them. Because when a person is born again of the Holy Spirit of God, he becomes a new creature, and the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So therefore, we should help them to really realize. So I don't use the expression anymore, are you converted, or are you born again, or are you a Christian? I use the expression, have you ever committed your life to Jesus Christ? And you know, you can ask a Christian that. And some Christians would say, yes, I'm a Christian, but no, I've never really committed my life to Jesus Christ. Then you can help them. Help them in the Word. Help them to get started to consuming the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And this is what the Bible does to us as we grow in Christ. I quoted you the verse Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And this is what we want to help people do. And we got people all around us, in the church and out of the church, that are holden with the cords of the sin. They're holden with habits. I'm working with a man now who has a habit of overspending. He is an engineer, makes good salary, and his wife is working. They're expecting their first baby. But his thought pattern is such that they live on a credit card. So I go over with him. You know, when you buy something on the credit card and you don't pay it off right during the months in which you buy it, you pay $1.08, $1.12 for a dollar worth of goodies. But when you pay cash or pay up, you don't pay that extra. So here he is, thousands of dollars in debt, not counting his house, of course. Thousands of dollars in debt. In fact, they went on a cruise on a credit card. $1,000 in debt, and decided to take a cruise. I shared with him in trying to help him. You know, if the fairy godmother gave us a check and you could pay off all of your debts, it would really hurt you instead of helping you. He wanted to know why. I says, because you have the habit. You're bound with the cords of your sins. You're bound. You have a habit of overspending. You're going to have to break that habit. Or if someone paid off all your debts, you'd go right back in debt again. Because your thought pattern. The scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We do according to our thoughts. God wants us to live above the burden of debt. You know, in the Old Testament, by the way, you know, a lot of navigators, they use Old Testament verses. The Paul says all these things happening to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Old Testament was written for examples for us in the New Testament. And they're examples. So we're drawing illustrations from the Old Testament. But you know, when the children of Israel were getting out of Egypt, they had a plague of flies. And then Moses, he got rid of the flies, and the scripture says there wasn't one fly left. Then later they had a plague of locusts, and they got rid of the locusts. And the scripture says there was not one locust left. And God said, put the mark on the doorpost. Sacrifice the lamb and put the mark on the doorpost. And so all the Israelis did that, but the Egyptians didn't. And the scripture says, in every Egyptian's house, there was one dead. Every Egyptian's house. We as Christians have a habit of, well, nobody's perfect, you know. Well, that's true, no one's perfect, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying, I want an excuse for not shaping up my life. That's what we're really saying, you see. I want an excuse for not getting down to business with the Lord. An always place builder, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke. When I was a young kid, lived on the farm, and my cousin had an ox, and he drove it to the cart. And we would get on that cart, and we would go for a ride on this ox. And I wanted an ox. So I asked my grandmother if I could have a calf, and she says yes. And so we had a calf, and so my cousin and I were going to train, call it breaking, this ox, you know. And so we put the yoke, my grandmother's hired man made us a yoke over the ox's head, and a bow that would go up like that. Well, we got that cow, that ox, in such an awkward position, I thought we were going to break its neck. We almost broke the ox's neck rather than breaking the yoke. We couldn't break the yoke at all because it was made out of hardwood, you see. But that's what he's talking about here, and that you break every yoke. We're under the yoke. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you see those animals or pictures of those animals with those yokes, and sometimes you got two of them yoked together, Jesus said, you're going to have to wear a yoke. But why don't you wear my yoke instead of your yoke? That you break every yoke. Sometimes we're under the burden of guilt. Sometimes the guilt is for real. Occasionally it's false. I have the problem that I have to work on. My wife helps me of guilt. If guilt comes about because we're getting some things squared away in our life, well and good. But false guilt is kind of a self-pity. And I had a habit making excuses or apologies for things that I really didn't do. And that's kind of embarrassing, to be around a person who apologized for something that they really didn't do. Oh, I don't want to take your time now, or I don't want to impose. Well, why did you come, you know? See, God wants us to get rid of that, to be real, to be ourselves centered in Jesus Christ. Get rid of these problems that we have, such as yoke or guilt or debt, and to let the oppressed go free. There's nothing like being free. Being free from debt, being free from guilt, being free from overspending, being free from saying the wrong thing. We're talking about taking the old ways places now. We're talking about building ourselves and building into the lives of others who are going into a place and build the old ways place. Deal thy bread to the hungry. Helen and I don't have an opportunity to deal our bread to the hungry. We give to the church and give to missions to the hungry. But our application on that is to have people into our house. Most of the people that we have in our house aren't necessarily hungry physically. They could do without a meal, actually. But they're hungry for fellowship. And so we have people into our table and feed them so we can have a spiritual opportunity to build into their lives. That thou cover the naked. We don't have an opportunity to give to people who actually are naked, but I've made a habit, and we budget for this. When I was traveling in Asia, the rim of the Pacific, Malaysia, Indonesia, and I was visiting the Navigator Works there, I'd oftentimes get acquainted with the local pastors with whom they were working. And since I'm a relatively small man and they're relatively small of stature, I would ask the Nav rep, which one of these pastors has a need, and he would tell me, and I would look for an opportunity to give him my clothes. And so I made a habit of emptying my suitcase on my last trip before I went home to New Zealand and give it to the pastor. We've made a habit since we've come home, we've had it before, of looking for opportunities for people who need help. Oftentimes we find a pastor that is not in the best of condition financially. We have a place down here that we buy clothes, we buy suits. And so we take him in there and buy him a suit of clothes. A missionary, people that are worthy. You know, this is a fantastic ministry that we've run into. One of the last times I was in there with a fella, the proprietor asked me, you know, he said, "John, I noticed you buy a lot of people clothes. We sure appreciate your business too." And he gives me a good price on them. I says, "Yes, yes." I says, "These are missionaries and pastors and friends of mine that I like to pick up and help a little bit." And it led into an opportunity to share Jesus with him. And he got it. because here I was practicing what he thought Christians ought to do, you know. And he gave me quite a percentage mark off on the clothes. And we appreciated that. And the reason I do this is when I was a young man, I didn't have all that much. And I remember the first suit of clothes that I got after World War II. I had given all my money to missions, and so I didn't have much. And this fella took me down and bought me a nice suit. And that really impressed me and how I appreciated it. So I looked for opportunities to do that. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. What does that mean? Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Well, our own flesh is our family. my brother, who needed some help on his house, and I had a saving at that time, and so I said, hey, brother, why don't you take my saving and use it on your house, and you can pay me back as you have opportunity. Very Christian, very fine Christian fella. And so he did. He paid me back, and just as he paid me back, my widowed sister had a real need of a house, and she had a little money. And I said, look, why don't you take brother's money? Brother just paid me, actually, and you take that on your house. And so she did. You know, they're both with the Lord now, very fine Christian folks. I can't do anything for them now, you know. I'm so glad back then when I had an opportunity. I was a single man. I had an opportunity. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. My younger sister needed some help on going to college, and I was away. So, to give her some help. This really opened the door for tremendous testimony to my family. You know, James teaches us that we should practice. We should practice Christianity. And it's what people do that impresses you and me and others as much as what they say. It's what they do and who they are. And this is the kind of a person that is an old waste place builder. This is the kind of a person that has a testimony to that people would listen to. And when they do share Christ or share the Bible, people pay attention. Isaiah 58:9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Maybe we're not getting answers to prayer. Maybe we should look at our lives. Maybe we should look and see, Lord, is there anything that I need to be putting into practice? Anything that I should start doing that I'm not doing? Anything that I should quit doing that I am doing? To ask ourselves this question. It's good to analyze our own lives from time to time. And if you have opportunity, have someone that you trust to help you analyze your life. I have four in my life that I've talked to. And I've told these fellas, I want to open the door of my life to you. And as you watch my life, If you see anything that you'd like to mention to me, any correction, I'm asking you right now to share that with me and take an opportunity. And I'm opening the door of my life to you now. And you know, it's been a tremendous, tremendous help. One of the fellows that was a very, very help to me in that regard is ill now, and so he can't do that anymore. But I asked a young man, 40 years old, a little above, to do that. And so he came. He doesn't live in the area. He came and he knew of some of the things that I was doing, and he just questioned it. One of the things that I was doing, I had a couple of NAV guys helping me repair my home. And they helped me each summer. And they were tradesmen, gifted men. And he said, John, are you paying these fellows? And I said, yes, I'm paying them, you see. Because it says in Jeremiah 22:16 says, woe unto him that builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's services without wages and giveth him not for his work. That's a good verse. That means you should pay your help what you'd like to be making if you were them. Then thy light shall break forth as the morning, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. The darkest part of our life will become high noon. Isn't that great? The darkest part of our life will become high noon. I have some other prayers before the Lord that he hasn't answered us yet. And I've asked myself, Lord, is this one of the burdens that I should bear? You know, Paul had a problem in the flesh, and he asked the Lord three times to take this problem away. And the Lord said, no, I won't let you keep this problem, because when you're weak, then you're strong. And so maybe that's what the Lord has for me. I don't know. But we know for sure, and as it says in Isaiah 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But in addition to giving our money, what an old waste place builder does is give of himself, make of himself available. That's one of the hardest things to do, to give of ourselves, to let our ways go. I'm helping a fellow now in a different state. He uses me as one of his advisors, and he wants to repair his kitchen. And he has the money, he's in the ministry, he has the money to repair his kitchen, and it's, he has just about the money that it's going to take to remodel his kitchen. And he says, but you know, John is, you know, we want to live frugal, and we want to really, we don't want to splurge. I said, now, Mark, when it comes to living frugal, talk about yourself. Don't necessarily talk about your wife. Because you see, your wife goes to work every day in that crummy kitchen with those equipment that really don't work. I said, when I was in the carpenter shop, All of my equipment worked. When I went to work every morning, I enjoyed working because everything worked to a precision, you see. Well, a lady goes to work in the kitchen, many of them. And you want to think of her, not you. And if you are going to splurge, splurge towards someone else rather than yourself. I don't think you're making a mistake, brother, his younger brother, by helping your wife, by fixing your kitchen, bringing your kitchen up modern, because they do a lot of entertaining in the ministry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Most of the folks that we need to satisfy is afflicted in spirit, and we can feed them the word. When I get together with a fellow, one of the first things I do is start him off on a plan of taking in the Bible. I start him off on memorizing scripture. If he really means business, he'll memorize. And so I give him a few verses of scripture to memorize. And then I give him my pack. And I usually don't give him the whole pack, just a wee bit. And I have him check me on my verses. And every time we get together, he checks me on my verses. Every time we get together, I share with him where I am. We walk along together, satisfying the afflicted soul. And it's so wonderful to see fellows grow. And they grow as they take in the Bible. An always place builder is a person who builds into the life of another person so that they in turn can walk victoriously. And walking victoriously isn't merely going to church or teaching Sunday school, all of which is very important, or preaching a sermon. It's helping them in their lives. It's helping them with their budget so that they can live and save. I talked with young people. They said, well, Johnny, it just takes everything we have now. I said, well, it's going to take more than that later. Believe me, because I'm already later, and it's going to take more than that. Well, John, we just have so much, we have so much medicine with the children and what have you. Well, I don't think you know what the cost is right now compared to what it's going to be later. So you help them. And you help them walk above the ordinary thought pattern of the world. And it's so great to see young people grow in the Lord, grow in raising their children, grow in their finances and being able to get a better house. It's just absolutely thrilling. Working with a doctor who's in Texas. I work with a lot of people out of the area by phone and occasional visit, and they visit me. And this doctor has five children now. And as we counseled him, he is able to be out of debt, being able to function with saving a little bit each month, and he is happy, and she is happy, and the children are happy, and you can see the future is bright for them as God leads them. Help them in raising their children. None of us know all that needs to be known about raising children. But we can start them, and start them on a study, and start them to be conscious of the fact that that is your responsibility. You see, Helen and I never blamed the school for the education of the child. We accepted the education of the child as our responsibility. We didn't homeschool, but we accepted it just as much as a homeschooler. And we checked their lessons every night. See? And so oftentimes, we work with people who are so disappointed with their children because their children don't have the disciplines to get their study. And it's because Ma and Pa didn't start when they were little wee ones building into their lives. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Jeremiah 5:6. Jeremiah 17:5-6. By the way, and we'll bring this to a close pretty soon. We can get part of the ball game. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land, and not inhabited. The heath in the desert is a little desert plant that does not respond to water. Occasionally, it rains in the desert, but it doesn't help this heath plant because he just doesn't, you know. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he should be like a heath in the desert, and although it rains, it doesn't help him. He inhabits the parched places in the wilderness, and the salt land are not inhabited. 7:8 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he should be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be full of care in a year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The second illustration is a tree planted in a semi-arid place. For instance, in the San Joaquin Valley, in California, where we get so many, many vegetables, is a semi-arid desert land, very, very rich. But it doesn't really make any difference because they irrigate it. See that, the peaches and the apricots and the almonds and whatever that they grow is very rich. And we get tons and tons and tons of stuff there. And this is the kind of person. And it planted by the waters and spreadeth out her roots by the river. And although heat will come, it gets terribly hot in that desert, 100 degrees. But it doesn't make any difference. The leaf is green and shall not be careful of your drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that's what I've asked for my life. I've asked that I'll be a tree planted by the waters and spread it out by roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. I've asked God that I'll bear fruit from all of my life, the fruit of helping young men know the Lord and grow in Christ, that I'll be an old waste place builder. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this good time together. Help us to make application. In Jesus' name, amen.